Sponsorship of the KQED live audio stream comes from Xfinity Mobile, featuring customized wireless plans. Customers can choose unlimited, buy the gig, shared data, or a mix of both and switch it up anytime. Learn more at xfinitymobile.com.
Joining us now is someone who helped shine a light on errors in the healthcare system. Dr. Bob Wachter is a professor of medicine at UC San Francisco. He's co-author of Internal Bleeding, The Truth Behind America's Terrifying Epidemic of Medical Mistakes. Dr. Wachter, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here.
Let me begin by just asking you about what we just heard. David Meyer, how typical is that kind of experience?
It's not typical, but it happens. It happens too often. Patients come into the hospital with one problem and leave with another problem, an infection that we cause. Some of the time, it's not preventable, but too often it is preventable if people adhere to certain kinds of practices, hand hygiene, draping wounds the correct way. There are certain kind of simple things that we don't do with 100% regularity, and if we did, we would prevent a lot of infections.
And are those kinds of mistakes the most common when you look at the whole constellation of errors out there?
They are among the most common. The most common mistakes are communication glitches. I knew something about you when I was taking care of you in the hospital, and I didn't transmit that information correctly to your primary care doctor, and something got lost in the handoff. Infections are certainly in the top three of the of medical mistakes that lead to harm, and they certainly harm and kill hundreds of thousands of people a year. And I think one of the things that's relatively unique about infections is that we pretty much know how to prevent, not all of them, but most of them, if we did the right thing.
Well, and as we heard in that piece, something so obvious to almost anyone who works in a restaurant or just all of us, as we go about our day, washing your hands.
Yeah. Yes. It turns out
that
surgeons,
shocking,
it is shocking. So it turns out surgeons are terrific at this when they are in the operating room. So you don't have to worry that when the surgeon is opening up your belly or your heart to do your surgery, the surgeon is not cleaning his or her hands for the requisite amount of time. What we're sloppy at is after you leave the operating room and you're on the floor of the hospital and doctors and nurses are coming in and out of your room all day long to examine you and talk to you. Most hospitals, when you looked at that rate, the rate with which doctors, nurses, and others clean their hands, about 10 years ago, it was 10 or 20% of the time they would do it. 80% of the time, they would not. In good hospitals that have been working on this religiously, that rate is now up to 70 or 80%. It's still not 100. We have to have a little bit of sympathy because the average doctor, for example, on rounds, I may go in and pop in and see 20 patients in very rapid succession. And every now and then we'll forget, but we should get that one right close to 100% of the time.
Well, it's been 7 years now since your book came out. What do you think has changed in those 7 years?
I think we've made a fair amount of progress. The first thing we had to do was begin to approach medical mistakes in a different way, that they were not generally manifestations of bad human beings who were uniquely careless or stupid. They were mostly because we had very glitchy systems that didn't anticipate that human beings would blow it from time to time and catch those errors. And so the real solutions have been things like computer systems, have been double checks, have been the use of checklists, things that seem like no-brainers, but we didn't think to implement in healthcare, in part because we had this mental model that errors were about bad people, not about bad systems. So I think we've made some progress. If you come to UCSF today, you will. I have patients say to me, "Why is it that every single person asks me my name?" Well, the reason is because we screwed that one up in the old days by not double checking, triple checking your name. We're much better at cleaning our hands. We have good computer systems, but we're still not perfect.
Does it seem that most mistakes are a result of a cascade of problems, not just one big catastrophic error, but sort of a series of things where the system failed? And you sort of alluded to that a moment ago.
That's what we've come to understand. And that's actually not unique to medicine. When you look at 9/11, when you look at the stock market implosions, when you look at BP and what happened in the Gulf, they almost always have the same pattern. You see the fingerprints of human errors. You see some person or people didn't do exactly the right thing. But when you sort of go to the wide-angle lens and you look at the whole picture, you see a system that was designed for failure. where it depended on people being perfect. And you can't do complex tasks and assume that you're going to have 100% reliability if you have human beings in the mix. And so that is the way errors happen. And I think it was only after appreciating that we began to think about how we design systems that catch the errors of human beings.
So many things nowadays are computerized. And I'm just wondering the extent to which you see technology as part of the solution versus part of the problem, or maybe a little of both.
And the answer is going to be both, of course. It's part of the solution in that, for example, 5 years ago, an error might be because I wrote down a prescription in my not very good handwriting on pieces of dead trees, and someone had to read that and figure out whether I meant one drug or another drug that might have very similar names. That's a terrible system. Or that I would have to remember that these two medicines I'm giving you have an interaction with each other. And there are 10,000 medicines. I'm not smart enough, and no doctor's smart enough to remember that.
So, or you may not know that.
Not know it, or it may have just come out in the literature a month ago and I haven't read it yet. So there are computers are clearly part of the solution, and systems that have advanced information technology systems have found significant decreases in certain kinds of errors.
Well, I want to play a short clip from an interview we did with a nurse. Her name is Deanne McEwen. She's been an ICU nurse in Southern California for many years. She's also co-president of the California Nurses Association. Let's listen to what she had to say, and then we'll come back and talk.
She was covering for a critical patient who needed emergency ventilation and life support. And so a physician asked her to set up for an emergency intubation, putting in an artificial airway. In order to do that safely, the patient has to receive a couple of different drugs, one for sedation, one then to paralyze the patient so they don't move and the airway can be placed safely into the proper location. In the course of opening the emergency tray, the particular RN injected a medication, epinephrine, that caused the patient's blood pressure to skyrocket. It was not the drug that the doctor ordered, which was Etomidate, which would have paralyzed and relaxed the patient for the procedure. And he said, "Are you sure you gave the right medicine?" She said, "Oh, yes." And she was looking at the monitor, and they were both looking at the reaction. He asked her to push another dose. She pushed another dose of the same medication again.
So, Dr. Walker, what are your thoughts about that kind of a scenario? And obviously, you'd need to know more about it.
But. Yeah. I mean, that sort of thing happens. It's rare, but it happens once is too often.
I want to point out, too, she was a floating nurse. And
right.
So she was called into this situation not as familiar with it as she might have been.
It demonstrates what one of the things that we do see that when we analyze terrible errors, we often see multiple small things that any one of which, if that was all that was wrong, might not have led to harm. But you see someone who's unfamiliar with that workplace, maybe doesn't know the equipment or, in that case, the medication tray quite as well, maybe overly busy, multitasking too many things on his or her plate. I would wonder, I didn't hear that in the clip, but I would wonder whether culture and hierarchies went into it. And by that I mean sometimes you have a situation where a doctor is saying to the nurse, "I need this thing." The nurse suspects that something is wrong and yet doesn't feel comfortable speaking up to power. So I think that those are often when we analyze complex errors, we see there's all of those things embedded in the case.
Well, and one of the things in your book that stood out for me was the notion that the healthcare field could learn a lot from the aviation industry. And I think it's relevant to what you just said.
Yeah, I think some of the things that aviation has done extraordinarily well is that they have standardized everything. So a pilot or co-pilot walks into a cockpit of a 747, and they all look exactly the same. In this case, it may very well be that this particular tray looked very different than a tray that had the same name at a different hospital, for example. They have trained and in simulators, so they're used to those sort of circumstances over and over again. And very importantly, it's not just checklists and equipment, but it's also culture, that they have gone through teamwork training where they learn the importance of speaking up if they see something that seems wrong. What's not very important or interesting in error and learning about errors is what does someone do when they're sure something is wrong. What's really important is what does someone do when they're not sure it's right.
When there's doubt.
And when we look at a lot of medical errors and analyze what happened, you see that there was someone or sometimes multiple people who had doubt and they had learned over the years just to blow it off.
You tend to focus on the system and not on the person, not blaming the person that made the mistake. And you've gotten some criticism for that. What's your response to why it isn't important also to root out the bad apples?
I think both are important, and I think the criticism is appropriate. I think in the early days of the patient safety field, we went from a notion that it's all about bad people. That's the way the malpractice system tends to frame the issue. It's a natural way for patients and frankly, for doctors to frame the issues. I thought about it that way myself. I made a bad mistake. How could I be that terrible? We came to recognize that that was largely wrong, that most errors are committed by good people and it is the system. And I think we went too far. I think we began to say it's always the system as if there's no such thing as a bad apple or no such thing as an act that really requires individual accountability. And I think 10 years into the safety field, we're reaching a more mature understanding. I think most errors are system problems, but there are some bad apples. We're not very good at identifying them and purging them. And I think something like hand hygiene that we started out with, at some point, the system's good enough and the right response is, you didn't clean your hands, we're going to do something to punish you.
A lot of doctors and doctors, physicians, organizations, of course, they do complain a lot about the malpractice system in California and in the country. How big a part of the problem do you think it is? Because it encourages physicians, for example, to practice defensive medicine or anything else.
I think the malpractice system is a bad system and it's pretty unfair. Having been an expert witness in a number of cases, I've seen it from the inside. And it's pretty arbitrary. It doesn't even give patients what they need, which is since half of the money in a settlement often goes to the experts and to the lawyers, it doesn't work well on any level. I don't believe, however, that it's an important reason why care is unsafe. I think that it's almost unrelated to the safety problem. The one piece of it that is related is it does make doctors and other health professionals clam up. People, one of the things that we need to do in order to fix the problem of medical mistakes, something you're doing today, which is expose cases of medical mistakes so that we all learn from them and are comfortable teaching each other about what we learned from glitches and from harm that we caused. And if every time I think about writing something or in my own hospital talking about it, I have to worry in the back of my mind whether an enterprising lawyer is going to get a hold of it and sue me, I'm now reluctant to be as open as I need to be in order to fix the problem.
Is there a mistake you made in your profession that you can think of that stands out for you and that you really learned something about yourself and about the system?
I've made many. I'm not proud of any of them, but the one that stands out most is one I made as a medical student, which I think is evidence of something, another issue in healthcare, which is making sure that students and residents have appropriate supervision. That's something we work on quite a bit now. But I remember a patient who had recently had surgery. I came in to see him. He was in Philadelphia, and he was very, very short of breath, and he was panting like a dog and sweating. And I asked him what he thought was wrong, and he told me the room seemed kind of hot. And the room did seem kind of hot, and I said, okay, that sounds reasonable, not realizing that his symptoms were absolutely classic of having a big pulmonary embolism, a blood clot to his lungs after his surgery, and that it was classic, but I just hadn't read the chapter in the textbook yet to tell me that this was classic. And so I kind of made a note of it and said that I would tell my supervisor about this a couple hours later, and an hour later he was dead.
Hmm. So what does that tell you? I mean, students are students. They're going to learn, as things go on. What does it tell you about changing the system?
Well, it says something about this issue of hierarchies that I was uncomfortable admitting my ignorance. And if I was more comfortable with that, and I think our students would be today, I would have said to myself, I don't really understand what's going on with this patient. He tells me it's hot. It is hot, but I'm not sure this feels right. And I would have called my supervisor. But back then, I would have felt like I would be looking like I was dumb. And so that has to be fixed.
All right. Dr. Bob Wachter, he's a professor of medicine at UC San Francisco and co-author of Internal Bleeding, The Truth Behind America's Terrifying Epidemic of Medical Mistakes. Dr. Wachter, thanks for coming in.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.